today as we come to the table.
By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. Remember fruit, more fruit, much fruit. This glorifies God. When you guys bear much fruit, he's glorified. So you will be my disciples, and true disciples will bear much fruit because they're staying connected to the vine, staying abiding in the vine, that is connected in there. The question for us as we finish today is, are you abiding or staying connected to the vine? Are you connected to Jesus? Are you in the word? Are you in prayer? Are you saying, Lord, flow through me? Maybe God has pruned something in your life and you're too busy fussing at God. You know, God, how could you do that? You took that out of my life.
It's easy to add things into your life. There's always something else to buy and then maintain. You can always find a new show to watch, and then you've finished the whole season. It's a lot harder to remove things than to add them. And so your house, your mind, and your life just keep getting more and more stuff. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. But today, Pastor Mark shows that there's hope. If you're connected to God through Jesus, he promises to bear fruit through you. And he also promises to trim away the useless clutter that's sapping your vitality. He wants you to bear much fruit. And he'll do that through a continual shaping of your life. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of John, chapter 15, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
That's love. To be able to lay something down for the sake of others. And here's what happens. Not only do you help others grow, you're going to grow because now those little suckers that are pulling all the life out of you, stuff in your life that doesn't need to be there, now you can grow and produce more because it goes farther up the vine and you can produce more fruit. And it could be that God is convicting you right now of a lot of the energies that are going into your life or pulling away from things that God could do. And it could be, who knows what it could be. You could go all kinds of things. It might be old relationships. Maybe there's a relationship you need to break off. You know that they're not a believer, but maybe they'll get saved. God is saying, you know you're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to be unequally yoked. You're draining the vine. You need to cut that off. But that hurts. You know what? Sometimes pruning is painful. But when God is the master gardener, he will only prune what will cause us to flourish all the more. And there'll be a much greater reward for you being obedient and letting God work in that area. It may be certain magazines. It may be certain movies. Yes, you're free in Christ. But there may be something where God is saying, you don't need to be involved in that. It's holding you back in your walk with God. What does it say in another place? Paul said, lay aside the weights that so easily hold you back. God wants us to be fruit-producing Christians. And we'll see in a moment, there's a progression to that fruit-producing. And so again, there's also what's called low-hanging branches that get in the way as well. The vines will oftentimes have these low-hanging branches, and these low-hanging branches are so low, they sit there and they just lay on the ground. They lay in the dirt. They lay in the earth. They lay on the world. You get the analogy. That is, if we have low-hanging branches in our life that we're just going to kind of keep a part of the world going, you know, just some low-hanging branches down here. We get a little bit dirty from time to time, but it's not really that bad. And I know the Lord, and I know I'm going to heaven or whatever. Listen, the problem is what happens to those low-hanging branches is they get diseased. And the disease would oftentimes move into the vine and then destroy the rest of the vine. If you allow this low-hanging branch to just play in the world and continue to let it go, you're going to get diseased from the world. And that disease is going to hurt your entire plant. It's going to hurt your entire productivity for the Lord. How much better to cut those lower branches off and say, you know what? Forget that. I'm branching out. I'm moving on in Jesus. I'm going to go to higher things, and I want God to flow through me. That's often what the Lord is waiting in many believers' lives. He's waiting on you to let him move more. But you're not allowing him to because you're holding on to these things that can be diseased and pull you back into the disease of the world. Notice what he says to them. He speaks to them. And again, kind of this picture of washing off the fruit so that it's usable and edible. Look at verse 3. He says, you're already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. I've been teaching you for 3 years. I've poured in my water. The Bible says that we're cleansed by the washing of the water of the word. That is, God washes all the junk out of our mind from our past. As we spend time in the word and time in prayer, God cleanses us. And what Jesus is saying is, you guys have been cleansed. You've been washed off. And that's necessary in order for you to be usable for people around you, for the Father to use you as good fruit. You've got to be washed off. You know, I don't know about you guys, but maybe I'm probably the extreme on that. You go and buy fruit at the market. I don't care if it says pre-washed or not. Even these salads, that's pre-washed. Yeah, by who? What does that mean? I think you rinse it off again, right? And I think that that's a wise thing to do, is be in that habit of cleaning the fruit. But then once the fruit is cleansed, it's ready to be used. He's going to make the point, yeah, you're already clean, but you need to produce even more fruit. And now you've got to be pruned, and you've got to be grown, and you've got to move to a whole new area here. And so the cleansing has taken place, but now the preparation for greater fruit has to happen as well. And Jesus giving them these final words, wanting them to grow before he leaves and to know how to grow. And look what he says in verse 4. He says, abide in me, again, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Now, the word abide is the word here in the language meno, and it means to remain in or stay in. To remain in or stay in. So what the Lord is saying is, you're clean, you're already in me, now stay in me. Stay connected. Stay in a place where fruit can flow from your life, where the juices from my vine can go into you, the branch, and you can be used. You see, in vines and in believers, both are non-productive if they're not constantly connected to the source of life. And Jesus, for us, is that source of life. So Jesus is saying we must abide in him. We must literally stay in him if we're going to bear any fruit. And yet, how many Christians simply wander off after a while, and they wonder why they're never used by the Lord? Just kind of leave. Where's the fruit in my life? You know, I challenge you this morning. What fruit are you producing? Are you producing Christian fruit? If people are around you because they look at your tree and go, wow, that's Christian fruit. I can tell what kind of tree that is. Or would people around you go, you know what? I'm not quite sure what kind of tree that is. I'm kind of waiting to see what comes out. I think I've seen these leaves before. I'm not sure. Are we producing fruit? And we can do a self-evaluation. If we are producing fruit, what kind of fruit is it? Is it fruit that's helping those around us and making others healthy and strong and drawing people to the true vine? Or is it fruit of the world? Is all we're thinking about is things of the world? Is what's in our life the things of the world? Then we have to ask ourselves, are we truly a Christian tree? Number one, that's a good challenge. And the second thing is, yes, I know Jesus, then why am I not producing fruit? I can tell you why right now. You're not abiding in the vine. You're not in the word. You're not in prayer. Unless you're in the word and in prayer, you can't get life-giving source to give life out and produce fruit. It's that simple. It's not hard. But so many believers miss it because they don't stay connected to the vine. But what about those that we know that we've seen walk with the Lord for years and suddenly they're disconnected, it seems, from the vine, disconnected from the Lord? And I'm not talking about a temporary backslide. I'm talking about somebody who walks away. And you see them walk away. I've seen people, I've known of one particular man that for years and years and years walked with God and was used in a great way for evangelism and everything, and suddenly just walked away. And he said, you know what, I'm an atheist now, I don't believe in God at all. And yet he was used for many years leading thousands of people to Christ. He just walked away. What about that person? What does the Bible say? Does the Bible say anything? And this is where it gets a little theologically challenging. And that is this, and I want to ask you this question. Is it possible as a believer to completely disconnect from the Lord? And let me challenge you with this. If it's not possible, why did the Lord say, stay in me? You see, if my only option was to stay in him, why would the Lord bid me to do that? There has to be a reason the Lord said, stay in me. What does he mean? Now, there are three schools of thought. As I said, I'm going to do my best to be an honest expositor. I'm going to do my best to be a pastor that thinks this through with you and allows you to work through this yourself. There are three schools of thought concerning these verses. The first school of thought says this: these branches that are in Jesus are not really Christians at all. So they are cut off and they're thrown into the fire. And the analogy they say is pretty evident what happens to them, so they never were really Christians. The problem with that particular approach is, he said, every branch in me. So Jesus identified them as branches that were already in him. Well, the second school of thought says this, and that is referring to Christians who fall away, that it may simply be God taking certain Christians home early because of their disobedience. It might be that. 1 John chapter 5, verse 6, you can look it up later, says this: there is a sin that leads unto death. And in context, what John is saying is, there are some sins that believers do where God takes them home early. God says, you know what? You know, as a parent, think about this as a parent. We do the same thing. You're there at the pool and the brother keeps dunking the little sister and dunk. Stop it. I'm taking it. If you keep dunking your little sister, you're done for the day. I'm going to dunk out of the pool. You're done for the day. Oh, that wasn't fair. I'm sorry. You're done. All you're doing is hurting your brother and your sister. Get out of the pool. And 1 John 5 talks about that. It could be that God is referring here to those that get cut off early and they're taken on to the kingdom of God. I don't know. But the last school of thought says this. Scripture says clearly there's no power on heaven or on earth that can take us away or remove us from the love of God. And Jesus said this, no one can snatch you out of my hand. There's no power that can take you out of the Lord's hand. So it's pretty clear here that no one can pull you from God's hand, that no one can separate you by some kind of attack or whatever from the love of God. And the Bible does say that. However, the Bible says nowhere that you can't choose to walk out. And there's a big difference. Let me say this. I want to say this emphatically. I do not believe it is possible to lose your salvation. I do not believe that. But I don't see anywhere in the Bible where it says you can't leave it. And a very big difference in the two. And this passage here is one of those theologically challenging passages. There are multiple like this throughout the Bible. We don't have time to do an exhaustive study in it. But the bottom line is, I believe in this situation, it causes a godly fear and a holy fear in the heart. You're going to say, well, Mark, how can we be sure? How can we know for sure? Listen, God is the one that knows for sure, but I know how to make this a non-issue. This is a non-issue as long as what? As long as you abide. If you abide, this doesn't even need to be discussed theologically. People don't need to argue about it in universities. People don't need to make their stand on which side they stand on or which side they don't. The bottom line is abide, and it is a non-issue. It's interesting. To me, the only person this should be an issue to is the person who's deciding to maybe live in the world a little bit, and they're trying to justify that it's okay because I know I'm in the vine and there's nothing that could ever happen. So I can kind of, maybe. I don't have all the answers. I'm just a man. But I'm working on a book right now called Scriptures I Can't Ignore. This is part of it. I can't ignore what the Lord said here. The Lord said, if you're in the vine and you're not producing fruit, at some point you'll be taken away. In a moment we're going to see, he says, the vine will wither and be thrown into the fire. We'll get to that in just a moment. But I want to say this. I don't believe that God would hold any man a prisoner. That wouldn't be love. But I do believe that God will firmly keep and hold all that love him and desire to be kept. And I'll leave that between you and the Lord, which school of thought you stand in. I'm not going to fight with you about it. But I'll say for my sake, I'll tell you this much, it keeps a holy fear in my heart. Because it makes me go, you know what? I don't know. And here's enough question here that I can't nail it down, but I'm not taking a chance. I'm choosing to abide. And my appeal to you today is abide. Abide. Don't make it an issue. As long as we abide, it will never be an issue. And I want you to know this as well. I have 100% peace and confidence in my eternal security. I don't question it one bit. Total rest, total peace, because I know my Lord and I know the one who holds me. And I'm certainly not going to walk out. I can tell you that. If that's possible, I'm not going to do it. But the bottom line is, I can't ignore what the Lord is saying here. He says again, look at this in verse 5. I am the vine, you're the branches. He who abides, or literally meno, stays in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Notice he says here, if we continue to abide, we will bear much fruit. Now, earlier, what did he say? In verse 2, he said this, you'll bear fruit. And then also in verse 2, he said, you'll bear more fruit. And now he says in verse 5, you will bear what? Much fruit. There is an intentional progression here that the Lord is showing us, and that is this. The longer we walk with the Lord and abide in his word and in his prayer and in him, the more fruit we're going to produce. I don't know about you guys. Listen, I'm pretty fruity, but I'm not happy with the fruit I'm producing. Now, maybe you might say, you know what? I'm happy with the fruit I'm producing. I'm not happy with it. I look at my fruit and I've been praying this week, God, I want to produce more fruit. I feel like I'm producing fruit. I see it. I can stand back and go, all right, look at Mark from the outside. Okay, I see some fruit. Okay, all right, okay, I got it. I want the branches to be bending over. And the more the branches bend over, the more people can take. And the younger ones can easily reach. And that should be the desire of all of us, that we produce so much fruit. I am not satisfied with the fruit I'm producing, and I pray that God will continue to produce more fruit in my life till the day I die. You need to have the same desire, that, and I know you do, that God would produce more and more fruit, greater and greater things for the Lord. And I'm not talking about numbers or events or that kind of thing. I'm talking about true spiritual fruit of God that changes your life and changes people's lives around you. And so I love that here because, again, there's this progression that he promises. And notice here at the end of the verse, he says, notice this, without him, you can do nothing. It is in the double negative, which literally you could read it this way. It is actually a positive statement of our inability to do anything spiritual without him. He's positively saying, I'm saying positively that you can't do anything. Double negative. You can't. You can try. And again, this is where I've learned some hard lessons. And again, from ministry over the years, there are things that I've invested in financially as well as time-wise. And on the surface, listen, on the outside, it looked like this is fruit. Wow, this had to be fruit. And I look back now over the years and I go, you know what? I don't know that any fruit came from that. Zero. I think that was probably all Mark. And that's very depressing. But it's also very educational. Because I said, okay, God, I don't want to waste the church's money. I don't want to waste my time. I don't want to waste the church's time. I don't want to waste anything. I want everything to be focused in on you, Lord, and let it produce fruit for God. And so that needs to be our prayer, that God would do that. It's interesting, when Zerubbabel was trying to rebuild the second temple of God, it says in Zechariah 4, 6b, God said, not by might nor by power, that is man's, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And so God is the one that made the temple happen for Zerubbabel. It wasn't Zerubbabel, it was God. And so God is the one that does it. And we have to say, God, we want you to do this through us. For without him, we can do nothing. Look at verse 6, and if anyone does not abide or stay in me, literally, it literally reads, if anyone does not stay in me, he's cast out as a branch and he's withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they're burned. Now, again, the theological struggles only increase. Again, whatever camp you stand in, fine, stand in that camp. Just make sure you have that confidence in the camp you're standing in and make sure you're abiding. But the analogies here are pretty stark and pretty clear. And when you follow the whole analogies that God uses throughout Scripture, God uses what is called expositional constancy. That is the imagery that God uses. He uses to mean the same thing throughout the Scripture. And I've heard well-meaning Christians say, well, this just means you're being pruned. I have never seen a pruning process where the branch itself is cut off, laid aside to wither, then burned, and then suddenly I go out and it's producing more fruit. I've never seen that. Now, maybe there's something I don't know, and I don't mean that in a sarcastic way, but I'm saying these are the kind of verses that I can't ignore, and I can't just pretend they're not there. So regardless of your theological bent or position, my job as your pastor is to lay it out there and tell you what it says, and now it's between you and God what you do with it. But I know for me, it puts a holy fear in my heart, and for me, it drives me to Jesus. And I can tell you this, I'm going to abide. That's for sure. Now, it's interesting that along the path to Gethsemane, there were vineyards, and there would be burn piles at the vineyards. This is very clear in my mind. It seems like every time I do a teaching, God gives me something very visual to see it. This week, we had burn piles at our house. We have a new house, and we're clearing off some brush down there. Actually, the Thresses are clearing off brush, and it's kind of a mixture where our land kind of goes together there, and they were burning the brush piles. And it's amazing. You see all the brush piles. You see it all burn up and all be gone, and this whole imagery goes up clearly, and I can still see these round circles where the burn piles are. That's what vineyards look like. They would have these round circles, these burn piles, where they would burn the branches that they would cut off, and so they're probably seeing these burn piles as the Lord is teaching this, and they're seeing the fruit that's bearing really good with all the grapes on it while the Lord is teaching this. And so the Lord is making this very clear to them. Some actually believe that there could have actually been some of these burn piles still smoldering at the end of the day because they wouldn't always go out immediately. But either way, they see the imagery, they know the imagery, and it's very clear to them. And he says in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Now, this is a great promise. What a great promise here in God's word. Quite the promise when it comes to trusting in the Lord and God's promises to us, but it comes with a stipulation. And notice here the stipulation. That is, we have whatever we ask, but his words must first abide in us. It reminds me where the Lord said, you can have whatever you want if you pray in my name. And it doesn't mean at the end going, in Jesus' name. What it means is, in his character. His name was who he was. So if we're praying in the character of Jesus, something that Jesus would pray for, we know we have what we ask. Now he's saying the same thing about this. If my words abide in you, if you know my word, and you ask something in accordance with my word, there's the key, God's going to do it. Because this is an amazing promise. Now, you might say, you know, well, what about those that I've prayed for in my family to come to the Lord? They haven't come to the Lord. Listen, God will not force any man or any woman to make a decision for him. Love demands choice. Love is kind. Love is patient. Love isn't forceful. So God's not going to make anybody do anything. But if you pray for God to convict them, God will be faithful to go to their heart and convict them of their sin. And God will be faithful to draw them to himself. But then they have a choice to make once that conviction hits. And that's where the rub comes in for us. Sometimes I wish they didn't have a choice. Make them be saved. You know, it's just you will be saved today. And that's it. Sorry, young man. And that's how it's going to be. Yeah, whatever. But it doesn't work that way. Because that's not love. Love demands choice and freedom. And so the Lord says here, but if you ask according to my words, it'll be done. Verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. Remember fruit, more fruit, much fruit. This glorifies God. When you guys bear much fruit, he's glorified. So you will be my disciples. And true disciples will bear much fruit because they're staying connected to the vine. Staying abiding in the vine, that is connected in there. The question for us as we finish today is, are you abiding or staying connected to the vine? Are you connected to Jesus? Are you in the Word? Are you in prayer? Are you saying, Lord, flow through me? Maybe God has pruned something in your life and you're too busy fussing at God. You know, God, how could you do that? You took that out of my life. You know, you can't, wait a minute. God doesn't do anything except for our good. He loves us. Which means you're only going to grow more. God says, I want more of my life to flow through you. I want more of my life to go in you and you be a stronger branch. Trust me. Will you trust me? Okay, Lord, I'll trust you. If you get to that place, now you're going to bear fruit and more fruit and much fruit. And the question is, are you bearing fruit today? Are you staying connected to the vine? And are you letting God work in your life and even do the pruning that's necessary to be done? You know, as we finish today, here's what I want to pray. I want to pray that we would allow God to prune whatever needs to be pruned away. And if you've got something this morning where it needs to be cut away from your life, and God's saying, cut it out, let him cut it out. Let him do it for you. You're the one that has to follow through and take the action to do it. God will clip it. Sometimes God will clip things without even us asking. You know, sometimes that's the most shocking and the most surprising. But God is faithful to do it. Don't fight him. When it happens, say, Lord, I don't understand this, but here's what I do understand. You're opening up a better pathway for more of your life, your source of life to flow through me in this branch so that I might produce more fruit. And guys, who doesn't want to produce more fruit for the Lord? And when we produce more fruit, what happens? You glorify the Father. I want to pray and ask for God to help us to allow him to prune our lives, allow him to let his source flow through us, allow us to grow that we bear more fruit and much fruit that we might bring glory to the Father, because that's his desire. And I know for every believer in here, that's your desire as well. Let's pray and ask him to do it. Let's pray. Father, I do pray this morning, God, that you would make us those that produce much fruit. God, there are some in this room today that are producing fruit. I praise you for that. There's some others in this room that are producing more fruit, and I praise you even more for that. God, there are some in this room today that are producing much fruit, and I give you extra glory for that, and you're getting extra glory for that. But God, our desire is, and my prayer is that all of us would want to bear much fruit, not just fruit, but much fruit.
Thanks for joining us today on Come to the Table. The voice you've just heard is none other than that of Pastor Mark Kirk. Come to the Table is an outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville in Knoxville, Tennessee. Pastor Mark is currently teaching verse by verse through the New Testament book of John. This is one of the four gospel books of the Bible. What that means is that it's one of four accounts of the life and ministry of Jesus while here on earth. John brings up many miracles and proofs of Jesus being both God and man. Jesus met with people. He got tired, he cried, and he had a biological family. But he also performed miracles, raised people from the dead, and fed a crowd of people with one boy's small portion of food that multiplied. These two worlds colliding between his humanity and being the God of the universe can be hard for us to wrap our minds around. But John's eyewitness accounts of these happenings make it all the more convincing. To listen to more teachings like this one, head over to thewaymedia.net. If you're in the Knoxville area, we'd love for you to come to Calvary Knoxville this Sunday. We want to meet you. Find service times at thewaymedia.net. Scroll down the page to find a link to Calvary Knoxville. As our time comes to a close today, we want you to know that we're thankful for you, and we pray that these messages make an impact in your daily life. Join us next time as Pastor Mark continues to teach more about the life and ministry of Jesus. There are so many things we can gain from following Jesus' example that he laid out for us in his word. That's all for today. on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.